Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're having a great Friday. Weekend is nearly here. Jazz will be in action coming up later on tonight as the Jazz continue on this monstrous road trip. They'll be taking on Milwaukee and the Bucks later on this evening, and you'll hear it right here on the Zone Sports Network.
I'm bummed that Sam Merrill won't be playing in this game. I was excited to see if we could see Sam come off the bench and get a few minutes against the Jazz, but he's got that left ankle injury, and Torrey Craig is out with a nose injury. Wouldn't it be just like the Jazz to come out and beat Milwaukee by 12 tonight?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, no, you're spot on that one. You know, after losing to Brooklyn and then losing to the Knicks, and then it wouldn't surprise me at all to see the Jazz come out and play really well and beat Milwaukee. No, I think that's actually kind of par for the course for this team. Some head-scratching losses and then coming out and beating, you know, one of the best teams in the NBA.
I'm with you. Milwaukee's a 5.5-point favorite in this, and I'm just thinking to myself, yep, nope, that's not even close. Like, Jazz are going to do something, and then it's going to be another head-scratcher, and we're all going to wonder, well, okay, so what is
How
this?
How did that happen?
How? They're doing things that don't make sense right now. And you know, it's a matter of time until they find the rhythm. They've got the players.
Yeah.
I have to always stop myself and not question that. That they've got the players. We know what Boyan is on the perimeter. We know what percentage he should hit. We know what Donovan Mitchell is as a finisher. We know what Rudy Gobert is as a defender. You know, there is a question that's starting to crop up in my mind, Scotty. And that is, what is Royce O'Neal as a defender? It's a question that's starting to crop up in my mind, and it's something that I'm starting to pay a little bit more attention to, because if Royce can't get it done, you got to figure out something to do to get it done, because you can't let guards run over you like we've watched the last two guard sets do.
It is a big cause for concern, and I think a lot of us believe or at one point believed and still believe that Royce can be a dominating defensive player for the Utah Jazz, and I think he certainly has it, and we've seen flashes of it, but it's got to be more consistent, because that is one of the things that he's got to do and do at a high level. Is he's got to be the perimeter defender. He's not going to be your scorer. That's going to be what he's going to hang his hat on, is becoming and being a guy that you can say, hey, look, we need you to be one of our better defenders on this team, and he needs to step up and own that and take that role over. And sometimes he can, and sometimes it's not great, but it's got to be more consistent. There's no doubt.
This Milwaukee Bucks team is really good. Jrue Holiday there in the backcourt. You've got Giannis Antetokounmpo and Brooke Lopez sitting in the front court. You know, they do bring a couple of forces off the bench, DJ Augustine, and you know, this is a really good litmus test. This is a really good test of where the Jazz are mentally and where they're at physically. Because this is a Bucks team that's won three straight. It's a Bucks team that's starting to get their confidence. And it's also a Bucks team that I think that the Jazz can and should absolutely compete against. I know that they've got the Greek freak, but the Jazz have Rudy Gobert. And if Rudy wants to be known as one of the better big men, he needs to get in there and defend in multiple positions in the paint. And this is his opportunity. And they've got to be able to disrupt him. Do you think we'll see a little bit of a Derek Favors on the court, a little bit more mobile big to get in front of Giannis?
Yes. Yeah. I think this is a game that fits into play quite a bit, for sure. As much as you can throw at him, you've got to, and I think that'll be certainly the case tonight.
Here's Giannis's last four games, Scotty. 43 points, 29 points, 26 points, and 25 points to go with 13 rebounds, 12 rebounds, 9 rebounds, and 9 rebounds. Also, one game, 10 assists. He had a triple-double that was 26 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. So Giannis is something else, man.
Yeah. You go look through your Derek Favors minute count. Just through the first 8 games of the season, 16, 17, 11, 13. He had 23 against the Clippers. And then 14, 13, and 13 And I think a little surprised, and I think a lot of us are a little bit surprised by the lack of usage of Derek Favors, but I think tonight is going to be one of those 17, 18-minute nights for Derek Favors.
Just looking at our over-under for Derek Favors minutes, we set Favors minutes at 23 minutes per game. He's going to be well under.
Yeah. Unless there's an
under.
What's that?
Did we all go under, as you say?
You went under, I went under. Scotty went over.
I went over?
You did.
Is it too late to change that?
It is. It is. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it is.
I might have to get into the dock a little later on.
It's funny. Every time I'm tempted to do that, I remember that Lloyd can see full history of the dock, and I never want to be on the bad end of Lloyd's discoveries.
I got my eyes on.
I know, man. There's this stuff with the NFL predictions with Eric Weddle. I just wanted to tweak a little bit, and I'm like, oh man, can't do it. Lloyd,
can you imagine the hellfire that will rain down on this show if Lloyd catches us messing with the dock?
Oh, and imagine if Eric Weddle found out that.
Shenanigans.
That we tweaked our doc picks. Oh, that'd go poorly. That would go very poorly. But I am, Scotty, pumped for tonight's game. That's why I say the world of sports is so rich. I know I'm really bugged about the BYU-Gonzaga game last night, but it was fun to anticipate it, sit down, record it, get the drink, and just kind of slide into some good sports action. Well, that's what the Jazz and Milwaukee are tonight. That's a game that it's a must-watch. It is going to be a barometer, something that I can judge more accurately. It's essentially two full rosters.
By the way, you're going to hear from Rudy Gobert coming up here in just a moment. By the way, have you noticed that Shaquille O'Neal just can't – once he sinks his teeth into something, he just won't let go. And he's all fired up about Rudy Gobert and his extension and how much money he's making, only scoring 11 points a game. And which kind of surprises me from a guy who played that position, understanding that there are so many ways that a big man can impact the game outside of just scoring. And I can't, and I get it, it's entertainment, and he may have a producer say, hey, because I know Charles Barkley lit into him the other night.
Lit into who?
After him.
Rudy?
Shaquille O'Neal. Oh. For his, and Charles is like, what are you talking about? This guy impacts the game in so many ways. And so it might be a manufactured bit that they're doing on that show, but it does seem a little surprising that Shaq's banging on Rudy as much as he is.
Well, Shaquille O'Neal was a lifetime average of 24 points and 11 rebounds. That guy was a freak. They had to change the game because of
him. Oh, yeah.
And as good as anybody might think Rudy Gobert is, Shaquille O'Neal was a force that the NBA hadn't seen, and I still don't think they have seen. So powerful, and especially in his younger portions of his career when he was durable and mobile and could run the floor, he was spectacular. So he does have every right to be a voice and to have an opinion on it, and I appreciate it and stand back and respect that more than 99.9% of others. But you're right, Scotty. A lot of times it is entertainment purpose. I don't know. I don't get the sense it's entertainment purpose. I actually think he's in his mind, he feels that way.
Well, and I think a lot of these former players look at money these guys are making now.
Yeah.
Even though, trust me, Shaq made plenty of money. And sometimes they hold that against him as well. But right now, here's Rudy Gobert addressing the media in preparation of tonight's Milwaukee game.
I'm wondering if this season at all you felt like maybe there was added pressure because of the contract that you signed, the extension that you signed, and it's kind of it's an indication, a financial representation of being a leader on the team. And so if it adds any pressure for you to perform up to that number?
No, not really. That's not what I play for. Since I got in this league, I put the pressure on myself to be the best I can be and for me to be the best for my team and to help my team win games. And, it that didn't change when I signed the first contract. It's not going to change now. You know, I'm going to keep trying to get better every day and help my team win.
Right, next up, Kristen Kenny, Jazz TV.
Hey, Rudy, it's really rare for you guys to have a shoot-around, especially on the road. How much has that helped you guys, and what was the focus today at the shoot-around?
Actually, it was great to have a shoot-around. I never thought I'd say that one day, but, you know, I really feel like we need that time to get extra shots up, to be able to, you know, just be able to be together outside of a game, work on our plays, work on our habits defensively, offensively, you know, and prepare for tonight and for the future game. So it's, you know, it's great that we're about to have one, and hopefully we can have many more.
Tony Jones, The Athletic.
Rudy, what's been the travel like for you guys and you personally? You know, just in a pandemic, moving from place to place and in such unique environments.
It's been different for sure. You know, I think everyone is doing his best to try to be smart for the team. We know that the NBA is being pretty strict, especially with the contact tracing rules and all that stuff. So we're trying to, you know, do everything we can to be able to do what we need, recovery-wise and all that stuff. But at the same time, you know, respect all the safety measures you know, I think we've been doing a great job so far.
Eric Walden, Salt Lake Tribune.
Hey, Rudy, you've told us several times that the goal for the Jazz is to be the number one defensive team in the league. Obviously, that's an area where you guys have struggled a little bit at this point of the season. I think you're 18th in defensive rating. What's in need of improvement at this point? What can you still improve on? And as far as tonight's matchup with the Bucks, they're one of the best shooting three-point shooting teams in the league. You guys are allowing the second highest conversion percentage by any team on threes in the league. How do you stop them specifically on that?
I mean, we want to be the best defensive team in the league. This has to be our mindset. It has to be the number one thing that's on our mind. And not just when we start the games, but when things get hard. And what we've seen the last few games is that when things get hard, we kind of forget that a little bit. So, you know, it's on us to, I think we realize that we won't be able to be the best team we can be if we don't embrace that mindset. And we saw that the last two games. And, you know, it's great that it's early in the season and we're able to really look each other in the eye and just say what kind of team we want to be. And the team we want to be is a defensive-minded team. Offensively, we think we're top team in the league, but I think everything starts with our defense. And our defense is going to fuel our offense, and everything going to go from there.
All right, we have time for one last question. This will be Andy Larson, Salt Lake Tribune.
Rudy, the contract league got a lot of attention, and I'm curious, I don't think we've asked you kind of what you have in store for that. I mean, kind of, have you started creating plans on what you want to do with, you know, that sum of money?
You know, I have great people around me that are able to help me for that. To be honest, right now, I'm just focused on the season. You know, since I got in the league and before, the number one focus has always been my career and my team and my progress. And nothing's gonna change. You know, it's something that you know, that is great, obviously for my legacy, for my family, for everything. But you know, when you strive to be the best you can be every day, it doesn't matter the amount of money and people talk about it, but they actually think more about it than I do. So it's like, you know, I'm just worried on the team and I keep getting better and keep being able to have a huge impact on my community and on my legacy.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a personal question, isn't it?
Come again. I will tell you that your agents. Oh. Well, I will tell you that, Scotty, that agents will encourage you to understand that the money is there and that's nice for you after retirement. And that's really good because you've got to get it while you can get it. But you really do need to put it out of your mind. It can't be a factor in anything, because the only thing that having a ton of money is going to do is slow you down. You start thinking about other things in life, and you've got to stay hungry. You've got to continue to play like you have nothing. You've got to play like what got you there. You have to continue to really do that. And so,
I don't know if that was a question to try to elicit any kind of charitable plans that Rudy Gobert might have. But even then, that's kind of that just because he hasn't announced anything yet, is it like, hey, you know what, you got all this money, why haven't we heard any initiatives that you're trying to put together or things along those lines? And I don't know. That seemed a little out of place. I don't know what the intention was. And I got a lot of respect for Andy. I just don't know what the purpose of that was, because frankly, I think that's his business. And if I were Rudy, I'd say, I'm putting away an account called None of Your Business. And I will do with it what I please. So there you go.
Shoot around is over now, Scotty.
Yes. No more media availability. You got Rudy, and that's it.
This virus has made everything a little bit different.
Yeah. But the Jazz and the Bucks coming up later on tonight, right here on the Zone Sports Network. I don't know. This is a guy that just paid for and donated a ton of money back to a lot of the arena workers when the pandemic broke out that were out of work and didn't have those opportunities, and Rudy came up and foot the bill for that, and I don't know if we need to be questioning what he plans to do with the money going forward. That's his money, and he's earned it, and he gets to do with it what he wants. If he wants to buy an island off the south of Spain, he can do that. You know, whatever the case, whatever he wants to do, that's fine. And I don't think it's up to us to hold him accountable to how he spends his money.
That sounds kind of nice, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, I was thinking, you know, they've got the Fight Island for the UFC, and they've got some different notorious islands. Wouldn't it be fun to have the Hans and Scotty Show Island?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just an island where we do the show from, and then afterwards we can strip down to our skibbies and, you know, go hit some blue, wide-open blue waters, snorkel a little bit, come back, throw the headset on.
I think they want an island to separate us from the general public, if that were to happen.
Needs to be 85 miles off of the coast of Spain. Nobody can accidentally stumble upon this island.
I know you do the beach thing quite a bit, but I went to Cancun on the old Jazz Beach Bash, it was almost like 7-8 years ago, and I'm like, all right, you know, look, I'm not beach guy, and so, you know, this isn't going to be my thing. And I went down there, and I was, like, amazed by how, like, when people get on the beach, they're just like, you know what? I don't care what my body looks like. Everything's coming off. And I'm like, hey, bro, maybe you shouldn't. I'm wearing a golf shirt. Maybe you should, too.
Easy.
You
know?
Why are you telling me easy?
No, it just reminded me of the true Aggie conversation. I don't know why. Easy.
Well, I've already started my shaving and tanning, Scotty, so I won't be that guy. Hopefully I won't be that guy.
Well, I mean, hey, look, I admire the lack of not being self-conscious.
Shame.
I'm like, you know what? You do you, and you should be proud. But I don't know if maybe it was the warm waters and the atmosphere just makes everybody feel like, whatever, let's just roll. But I was like, wow. People just don't care down here.
Hans, really, you have a riding mower, don't you,
yeah.
Hans?
Yeah.
Do you go all Can't buy me love and mow it with your shirt off. Do you?
No.
Do you go Ronald?
I don't, because when I sit, I've got weird flaps on the, like, right underneath my pecs. It's kind of across the rib, and those flaps will roll when I sit. And so I feel like the love handle kind of sits between that flap. I need a shirt to absorb the moisture between those. And I don't think it looks good while I'm riding on a
just
mower.
Do it. I could see you doing that. I think you need to do that.
Shirtless?
Mowing. Yeah, shirtless mowing. Yes.
Plus, look at my fair skin. I'm shirtless for 5 minutes in the sun, and I'm doing.
But that doesn't mean you can't put on some sunblock or something. I'm not saying don't put on any sunblock. Put on some sunblock.
Yeah, look, I got hands back on this one. You want to feel comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable, then don't do it.
Yeah, plus
I tried it last summer. I was like, you know what? I need to start tanning because I'm getting a little white. I'm losing my tan.
What?
I'm on my belly. My stomach is losing its tan.
It is not.
It is.
Dude, you're super olive.
It's pasty. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take off the shirt. I'm going to mow. And I'm like, I was uncomfortable, actually.
On a rider or on
no,
a push?
No, not a rider. Just out mowing. So just enjoying the day.
I would be more likely to peel the shirt on a pusher, but
yeah, it was a pusher, but I didn't feel very comfortable. I was like, okay, that's not fun.
On a rider, you know,
nobody wants to see
you're
that.
Riding along, hitting bumps, and everybody can see what's going on, and you're just like, well, this is moving a lot, so
it's gyrating a little bit too much.
Looks like I'm directing airplanes into a hangar.
I could see you doing that. Maybe like a straw cowboy hat.
No, man. I think I'm going to keep the shirt on. I do need something to wick the moisture because I sweat. You would not believe the amount of sweat that pours out of my body when I'm just riding a lawnmower in the heat. It's embarrassing.
1228, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280, The Zone. Craig Buller Jack's going to, or excuse me, 1128. Craig Buller Jack's going to join us coming up next hour as well. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK. It's time now to welcome in Jeff Grimes. He used to be the offensive coordinator at BYU. Now he's the offensive coordinator at Baylor. At what point did you realize Zach Wilson was going to be projected as a very high NFL draft pick?
I would say early season, the way he was throwing the ball, it told me early on, we're not going to have this guy much longer. And when I saw him make the throw that he made to Dax against Houston on the headsets, I said, well, enjoy it while it lasts, boys. Throughout the season, have fielded calls from a number of NFL teams, and I'm hearing these grown men talking with a twinkle in their eye about this young quarterback in Provo, Utah, and I realize, yeah, this guy's going to go, and he's going to go early.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. It's all brought to you by Zero Res. Make sure to call right now, 801-288-9376. It is a new year, which means you need those carpets cleaned. You can get 3 rooms of carpet clean for just $88. Again, call 801-288-9376. And we'll start with the good.
Well, Scotty, in case anybody out there needs just a little bit more incentive to be excited about the NFL postseason, here's Juju Smith-Schuster, a receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, trash-talking the Cleveland Browns.
Juju, since you've been here, the Browns have had a few different head coaches, a couple different quarterbacks, a lot of different faces on defense. Do you feel, after playing them twice so far, do you feel like this Browns team has a different vibe, a more successful vibe than what you've seen in the past from them?
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year. I think they're nameless, great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, I don't know, it's the Browns, it's the Browns. And that's just, one of those things that, AFC North football, and they're a good team. But I'm just happy we're playing them again, this Sunday.
Wow.
Oh, man. Juju is well known for dancing on people's logos and TikTok videos and all kinds of stuff, trash talk, but man, this is up there with it. Yeah, a bunch of nameless, faceless guys. It's still the Browns. We're still talking about the Browns, right? Yeah, well, I'm just glad that we're playing them this weekend so we can advance. Like, holy moly, that guy took no prisoners.
You can't be doing that, can you?
I don't know. Juju's been doing it, but no. Like, if I was a corners coach, I'd be like, hey, Juju, just shut up, man. Or if I was a receivers coach, I'd be like, Juju, shut up. I don't know what you're talking about, man. Just keep your mouth shut. If I'm Roethlisberger, I'm like, hey, Juju, like, I'm getting older, and what that does is puts a target on me. So could you just shut your mouth? Like, Scotty, there were guys that you just didn't want to rattle their cage. You didn't want to shake them up because you knew if you rattle them up, they really did have more incentive in their heart to hurt you. And the Browns, they're good. And I don't know if you want to kick dirt on them right now. You know, like if I'm Myles Garrett and I'm hearing this trash talk, or if I'm Adrian Claiborne, who's the bookend of Garrett, those are really good bookends, buddy. And if I'm Roethlisberger, I'm just like, can you please shut your mouth? And I know, like, there are some no-name guys. There are some guys that you aren't real familiar with. But I think in this state, everybody knows Sione Takitaki. That guy can put a hit on you.
Oh, yeah.
And he's had some really good moments. So, to your point, no, you don't do that. You don't. But he does. And I hope he gets beat for it. I hope the Browns win this game this weekend. They won't. But in my heart, I truly hope they do.
All right, so if you are – I mean, look, a playoff game should get you fired up. You should be just out of your mind ready to play this game. But if you're a member of the Browns and you see this, does it ramp it up even more, or do you just kind of laugh it off and say, all right, let's go. Let's just – we know we got these guys. Or, I mean, does it really add – I mean, I ask you this because we in the media always were like, ooh, wow, this is really going to add something else to this game. But sometimes I tell you that stuff and you're like, eh, not really. It doesn't really add that much. But you've been in these games. You've been in these locker rooms. How much does this change the game a little bit? Does it change how Cleveland attacks this team at all?
It changes the viciousness of the attack. Like, it just changes the style. Like, we already know Myles Garrett is a little bit unstable.
Yes.
A man that rips a man's helmet off and hits him across the head with it in the middle of a game is not all there. And, you know, we're looking at guys like Terrence Mitchell, who's he's one of the corners for the Browns. So if I'm Terrence Mitchell and I've got this guy talking trash about, yeah, it's just all nameless faces across from me when I play the Browns, it just adds a little bit more in my heart to be a little bit more vicious with him. Now, I could get over my skis and I could get out of position because of my viciousness, and that could actually lead to Juju Smith having more success. So you've got to really guard yourself against that, not letting your anger get the best of you and you being out of position for it. But, okay, think about this. Carl Joseph, he's nasty, and he's sitting there in some type of quarters depth, and he sees Juju coming across. And, you know, maybe Ben is looking opposite side of the field, but in his mind he's thinking, well, I know one guy I'm not going to let catch that ball, and that's going to be Juju. And if I got a chance to rip him in half, I will. So I think it just adds a little bit more viciousness and anger to the situation, which if you're not intelligent in the way you handle that, it actually can be a detriment. But if you handle it the right way, then it leads to Juju leaving the field before the game's over kind of thing.
Yeah, yep. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
So this shows you the difference between January 7th, 2021 and March 11th of 2020. Philadelphia 76er guard Seth Curry returned a positive test for the coronavirus, which the team learned about near the start of its 122-109 loss to the Nets in Brooklyn. So the Sixers are staying overnight in New York. They'll commence contact tracing today. The team will do a new round of testing on Friday in accordance with the NBA health and safety protocols. Sixers coach Doc Rivers, who's also the father-in-law, said before the game that Curry had suffered an ankle injury when he had scored 28 points on 11 of 14 shooting in 36 minutes. Here's the thing that really jumps out to me on this one. So Seth Curry gets a positive test before the game. The game is still played, and the team ends up losing 122 to 109. You go back to March 11th, Rudy Gobert gets a positive test before a game, and the whole league shuts down for 3 months. It's like this is where we're at right now. You get a positive test, all right, we'll put him in an isolation room, and let's come on, we got a game to play. Let's go. Come on.
Well, that's an interesting point, Scott. I didn't even think about it that way. But that's an interesting point. So you said that they'll stay overnight, and then they'll go through contact tracing. They'll go through another round of testing. My guess is then you put the Nets through a full round of testing, correct?
I would imagine.
So Seth wasn't on the court because of that injury. Is that – and so –
correct.
Okay. Man, that is crazy.
Now, I don't know how much – you know, it's not like they pulled him off the court during pregame warmups because of the injury, but still – It surprised me. The guy's been around the team, and
they let the game go.
I'm not saying cancel the game. I'm not saying this is even the wrong thing to go. I'm just saying this is where we're at right now as a sporting world. You know, and again, I'm not saying it was right. I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm just saying I'm surprised that this is where we're at now, as opposed to where we were at before.
Man, I'm with you. I wonder if they're looking at the NFL and they're saying, you know, the NFL found a way to just continue on, and they haven't really let it disrupt operations too much. I feel like that Broncos game was the most disrupted operation. What was that, week six?
It was actually like week three, week four. I mean, it was pretty early in the process.
Wow.
Of the season.
And they've just continued to chug along. So I wonder if the NBA is like – well, we got to, you know, look, we've expanded your roster a little bit and given you opportunities with call-ups, and, you know, we've done everything we can, but we can't let this stop us. I do appreciate it to a large degree. I saw that Joel Embiid, he said that, and I know he was sitting next to Seth Curry when they came and took Seth off the court, and he said that he'll quarantine because of his newborn baby and his situation. You know, everybody's got to take their own safety measures with this, but the NBA, with their testing, they'll get to the bottom of if this thing's spreading really quick.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I kind of like where we're at right now, where they can just say, all right, look, this happened. All right, what are we going to do? All right, we'll fix it, and let's move on and go forward. I'm like, okay. I like it. I mean, I kind of appreciate the sensible way in which teams are looking at it. And then again, if you have an outbreak, then let's move on and let's get it fixed and do what we need to do. But let's try to work around this thing and make it work as much as it possibly can. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
Man, Scotty, when was it that we had Tommy Lasorda on the good? Was that just yesterday? Or was that Wednesday?
I think it was Wednesday, yeah.
Well,
he's out of the hospital, home with his family. Everything seemed to be fine.
Yeah, off the ventilator.
Yeah.
Feeling better, goes home, and I'm thinking, wow, so the family's going to get more time. And then today we find out that Tommy Lasorda has passed away at the age of 93, suffered a sudden cardiopulmonary arrest at his home yesterday night, was taken to the hospital, pronounced dead less than an hour later. And his hospitalization goes back to November 8th with those initial heart issues, Scotty. It's a little concerning that, you know, he's released from the hospital and that this is listed as a sudden cardiopulmonary arrest, which is, you know, it's essentially a heart attack, if I'm not mistaken. And he was just released from the hospital. It makes you wonder if he was released prematurely, but I'm sure they did everything they possibly could for him. This man lived five lives. He lived so many great moments and has done so many great things, was such an ambassador for the sport and a beloved character. and lived a great life.
Hard-pressed to find a better ambassador of the game of baseball than this guy, and certainly you'll never find anybody that's a bigger ambassador for the Dodgers than this guy. I mean, he is synonymous with that team. And you think Dodger baseball, you think of a select few people, and Tommy Lasorda is near the top of the list.
Vin Scully, Tommy Lasorda, and some of their great players.
Lee Kamard. Oh, sorry, okay. We're talking about Dodgers. My bad.
I'm a fan of Lee.
I know you are.
Dang good basketball player. Good coach, too. Good weekend warrior, I've heard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Still gets out there, huh?
Uh-huh. That's what I've heard. I've heard he's still on a court around and about.
Well, by the way, that guy.
How about him and his wife have been married for 70 years? Him and his wife,
Lee Kamard?
No. No, sorry. Back to Tommy. That's crazy. 70 years. 70.
Yeah, good for him, man.
I'm going to have to be like 115 years old to even get there. Get married for 70.
By the way, speaking of age at marriage, wait for world news next. Whew.
How crazy was that story?
It's wild, man.
It's weird.
Wild.
It's a little disgusting. It's kind of cool and also really sad. Like, there's so many different ranges of emotions. When I read this last night, I had to send it to you guys because, like, I don't know what to make of this one. But we will get to that coming up next. Hands and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Number one.
Vegas, your number one preset.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make the Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Time for another edition of Whole World News right here on the Zone Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at EliteWorks. Your website stinks. You need a new one. You need it rebuilt. Well, guess what, Hans? You got a company that is there for you to take care of all your website needs.
So many people out there just wasting their money with their websites and wasting their time with websites. You know you've got a website. You've got a business. You've got a website. You know it could be done better. Call EliteWorks at 844-523-2777, and they will rebuild it for free. They have the capabilities because they are a web hosting platform, which is all proprietary software. They're the best at it. Call them. That is EliteWorks at 844-523-2777.
So today's story I stumbled across yesterday. And the headline caught my attention because the Civil War was, you know, that was a while ago. And the headline was, Missouri woman believed to be the last widow of a Civil War veteran dies. So you think to yourself, how in the world did we still have a widow of a Civil War veteran? Well, here you go. Helen Viola Jackson in 1936 was 17 years old. At 17, she got married to a 93-year-old man named James Bolin, who was in declining health at the time, and he was a veteran of the Civil War. So in 1936, this 17-year-old marries a 93-year-old man, and the reason why, as you go down the list, is that this guy was had failing health, was in rough shape. She was, her family was kind of helping him out through kind of some, you know, through his last moments. And he thought a way to repay her and the family would be to get married and then she would then inherit his, or she would then assume his veteran benefits. And, you know, we're right there on the heels of the, coming off the heels of the Great Depression. So he thought he would do her a favor, get married. They didn't do married stuff, at least she claims. And so that was her, or his way of kind of repaying the family for their generosity. Well, he ends up passing away. She declines the pension, and then lives the rest of her life, does not remarry, mm-hmm. because she felt so loyal to this guy. In fact, she said, this is the only man who ever loved me. And she passed away. She was, 101 years old.
101.
She never told anybody about the marriage, too.
Yeah, until 2017.
Until 2017, she kept the whole story quiet because she was kind of ashamed about the whole thing, and she didn't want the bad publicity or the press or anything along those lines. And finally, just about 2 or 3 years ago, as you mentioned, she finally told the story. The family and some of the other records, record keepers, delve into it to make sure that she was, she's in her late 90s. They're like, you sure this is true? They went, they did the research, they found all the records, and found out, yes, it was in fact true that back in 1936, these two people got married.
In fact, they found a Bible that James Boland had given to Helen, and he had inscribed in the Bible kind of a lengthy marital scribe in this thing that goes all the way back to that date. And there were multiple ways they were able to find that this was in fact a wedding, that there was a marriage between these two. And you got to think about this now. The Civil War went for essentially 4 years, and it wrapped up in 1865. So this man was fighting in the Civil War in somewhere in the 1860s, and had lived a long life, married this woman, and we just lost a woman that was married to somebody fighting in the 1860s in the Civil War. Like, that is an absolutely fascinating story that is now factual. This is all documented, and an unbelievable story. I mean, this story needs to be a movie. It's got to be. Like, this has to be made into a movie of some sort.
I don't know if this is a Lifetime movie. I don't know what kind of movie it is, but they married September 4th, 1936. Throughout their 3 years of marriage, there was no intimacy. She never lived with him. She never told her parents or siblings or anyone else about the wedding. She never remarried, said the quote from a family member. She harbored the secret that had to be eating her alive.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the great part, that she never sought his pension. Like, that's what, you know, he wanted to repay her for her kindness. That's why he did it. And when he passed away, she's like, no, I'm going to decline it.
She was afraid that it would embarrass her and him because of the union. But as you mentioned, it really is. It's just a hard to believe story, but it's something I can understand. You know, you talked about how the family, she was one of 10 kids in this family, and her father had asked her to become the caretaker of Boland, who was, of course, in his later years and deteriorating. And so she would go and help this man in every way that she could. And, you know, it's understandable as to why he would want to hand down that pension and give her a boost. And that's it's just incredible, man. I can't even believe that somebody that was married to a Civil War veteran just passed away.
It's a Nicholas Sparks book. I don't know, man. There's not a lot of like romance involved in this thing. I don't know. It's a little weird. It's a little creepy. It's kind of sad. It's also a little inspiring. Like, I don't know, man. I can't wrap my brain around the emotions on this thing.
Would it be a Scorsese movie?
Yeah, I don't know how you turn this into a movie. Like,
there's got to be an angle for a movie here, man. Like, that spans a gap. So he would have been born in the 93. So he would have been born, what, probably 1850s?
Yeah, 1840s, 1850s, around there, yeah.
1850s, and his wife just died. That was just recently, right? Helen just passed away just recently.
Yeah, just a couple days ago.
That's an incredible story. There's a way to write it. I just don't know. Scotty, I think you and I should attack this. Paper and pen.
What? Featuring Tommy Lee Jones and Zendaya, or like, I don't know, like, who do you get to play this in this movie? It just feels weird.
Yeah, who's enough
to talk about
it
in 90?
Oh, the guy's name was James Brolin. Maybe you go get James Brolin.
Okay. I don't know if James Brolin passes for 93.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, I'll see how that works.
Clint Eastwood, and who's one of those teenage singers you listen to?
Oh, Clint's good. Oh, Gomez? Selena?
Even though she's pushing 30 now.
Selena is?
She's getting close.
Maybe James or Nick Nolte? I could pick that. Might work.
I think
he's gravelly too. You could totally see him being a Civil War guy.
I think Scotty just nailed this with Clint Eastwood because he could direct this and he could star in it.
Yeah, but Clint Eastwood is so just grumpy. I don't picture this Brolin guy being all that grumpy.
Oh, I think a dude that lived through the Civil War. Oh, yeah, man. He's gonna be plenty grumpy.
I don't know. He sounds like a nice guy. I don't.
By the way, Selena, your girl Selena is 28 years old.
Wow, I can't believe that. How old is the second fiddle to Selena, the one that just released a bunch of albums, like five
you're
albums?
You're on your own on this one. Taylor Swift.
Yes. What about her?
Taylor Swift is not second fiddle to Selena Gomez.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Swift's 31.
I ran a poll on that, and the poll would say otherwise.
To Taylor or
Selena?
Wait
a minute. You went Taylor Swift or Selena Gomez?
Yes, I did.
Run that poll.
Yes, I did.
You did not run that poll.
Yes, I did.
You didn't. It was Taylor and somebody else.
No.
When did you do this?
It was Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez.
No, it wasn't.
I'm going to pull this poll up. How do I search for my old stuff? How do I search through...
Your old polls?
Yeah. Do I just put in... How do I search for my old polls?
I think you just need to go down your list of tweets, and eventually you'll find it. How long ago? It was Taylor Swift and somebody else. It wasn't Selena Gomez.
It wasn't, and Selena won it going away. Okay, here it is. Let's see. Okay, well, there was a Coldplay one.
It was Taylor Swift and Coldplay, so there you go.
No, it wasn't.
And Taylor Swift won.
No, I think that one, Coldplay won.
Oh, did it? Oh.
Yeah.
I'll find this. Guys, I'm not even kidding you. I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to deceive you.
Okay, well, just run the poll again. Who's better, Taylor Swift or Selena Gomez?
Well, that's not the way I worded it. I worded it who would you rather not listen to?
Okay, that's worded in a way that...
Yeah.
No,
I think you're going to win.
You can't word it that way.
I think you'll win.
Look, if you had to choose someone to listen to, would it be Taylor Swift or Selena Gomez?
All right. I'll run that. But what about Taylor Swift, maybe? Is that who you're thinking, maybe?
Well, she's 31.
Holy cow. Well, that's... I think Selena is like the youngest singer I can think of.
Well, why does it have to be a singer?
I don't know, because... I don't know. I guess she doesn't have to be.
I'm just trying to think of young actresses that could play this role of this weird movie we're putting together. All right, Hans and Scotty, 104, coming up next. We're going to chat with the great Craig Bolajack straight ahead right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.